Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So tonight, we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, text 17. Yasya nahaṁ krito bhāvo Buddhir yasya na lipyate hatvapi sa imal lokan na hanti na nibadyate. Translation. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the Lord informs Arjuna that the desire not to fight arises from false ego. Arjuna thought himself to be the doer of action, but he did not consider the supreme sanction within and without. If one does not know that a super sanction is there, why should he act? The one who knows the instruments of work, himself as the worker, and the Supreme Lord as the supreme sanctioner, is perfect in doing everything. Such a person is never in illusion. Personal activity and responsibility arise from false ego and godlessness or a lack of Krishna consciousness. Anyone who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Supersoul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though killing, does not kill, nor is he ever affected by the reaction of such killing. When a soldier kills under the command of a superior officer, he is not subject to be judged. But if a soldier kills on his own personal account, then he is certainly judged by a court of law. Yasya naham krito bhavo Buddhir yasya nalipyate Tad vapi sa imal lokan nahanti na nibhajyate. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. Om Gyanatam Randasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshumaritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupika Dharmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpataribhyas Chakripa Sindhirbhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada, Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, it's very nice to be here with you on this warm Tuesday evening. Nice and warm, isn't it? It's the material world. Actually, by Indian standards, this is nothing. This is not even normal. It's a cool day. Yes. But we have become attuned to South Africa. Yes. We have become integrated into the South African situation. So therefore we may feel it as if it were hot. But it's not so hot. But that's the nature of this material world. So here Lord Krishna is talking about how people may be motivated by false ego. This is a rather philosophical concept. What is false ego? Earlier in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Bhumer aponalo vayu, kamano budhir evacha, ahankara ityam me, binaprakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Krishna says, these are my separated material energies. So, we all know that at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains we are all eternal spirit souls. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin, na anbutva bhavata va nabuya, ajo nitya shashvato yam purano, na hanyate hanyamane sharire. For the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He does not come into being, and he will not go out of being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primeval, and he is not slain when the body is slain. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. This body we call sharir. Just like, when do we use this word sharir? Every day, frequently. Sharira avijajal. Chitindriya tahe kal. Yes, sharira, sharira avijajal. That verse is saying, sharir, this body, avidya. This body is just a lump of ignorance. Jatendriya tahe kal. And the senses are a network of paths leading to death. That is the translation, part of the translation of that verse. And we are meant to sing, to chant that verse before we take prasadam. I hope you are doing that. At least those of you who are initiated or trying to take Krishna consciousness more seriously should chant that prayer. So it's saying, sharira, this body, avidya jama. It is just a lump of avidya, ignorance, this body. But I am thinking I am this body. I am thinking I am a white man from New Zealand, and you may be an Indian woman from Tonga, and somebody else is something else. Dogs and cats and males and females and old and young and all different types according to the body. And we are thinking, this is me. But that verse is saying, sharira avidya. Vidya means knowledge. If you've been to India, maybe it was like it here back in the old days. But the school is called the Vidyalaya, that place where you get knowledge. But sharira avidya, ignorance. This body is just a lump of ignorance. So if I am thinking, I am this body, what does that mean? I think it means I'm ignorant, doesn't it? If this body is a lump of ignorance, then if I think I am this body, it means I'm a bit of a lump of ignorance. With all due respect to all you nice devotees and your nice bodies which you're engaging in Krishna's service. But strictly speaking, it's like that. This is called false ego. Ego means, well, it's a Latin word. It means I am, in the sense of identity. So we all have a particular identity. What is that? Well, Jivera Swarupaya, Krishna Nityadas. The constitutional nature of the soul is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. That is who we really are. But when we think that I am this body, then we call that false ego. It is a false sense of identity. I am not that. It is a false sense of identity. So what is a false anything? It means ignorance. If we're accepting something false, it means ignorance. So in this world, everyone is thinking in terms of false ego. In other words, they're thinking that they're someone who they are not. Just like, at least in the Western world, they have this sort of caricature of people who are in the crazy house, the mental asylum. They have this caricature that the mental house, there are many people who think that they are Napoleon Bonaparte, or if not him, the king, or the president. Yes, this idea is there. And some people who are schizophrenic, then it's like that. They think that they're someone who they're not. I don't know if you've heard of the great composer, Western European composer named Stravinsky. Did you ever hear of Stravinsky? Anyway, he died, I think, in 1950 or so. But he was a very famous classical composer. But in his last 10 or so years, he became schizophrenic. And he would assume that he was many different people. They counted something like 25 identities that he would assume. And he thought he was those people. In other words, one moment he was thinking he was the king. The next minute he was thinking that he was the street sweeper. Then the next minute he was thinking he was a businessman. Maybe the next minute he was thinking he was a sportsman. All these different identities he had within his mind. Yes, just like we said, some people think they're Napoleon. So Napoleon, he had a special stance like this. His hand thrust into the chest of his jacket. And he would stand there like this, very pompous. So there is this caricature that many people who are crazy, they do like that. And you go into the crazy house, and there are all these people And they ask you, and where are the British? When are they going to attack? This is Napoleon, you see. So it means they're a little mad, doesn't it? Because they think they're someone who they're not. If you think that you are someone who you are not, well, that means you're crazy, doesn't it? What would you say? Does that make sense? I think so. If you think, you really think, that you are someone who you are not, just imagine if someone like Praveen, pardon me for using you as a guinea pig, but if he walked in and told everyone, here I am Mr. Mandela, so you must all stand up and salute me. Then we would know, if he was serious, if he really thought that, we would know, poor Praveen hasn't been chanting his rounds. He lost it a bit there. Yes. So anyone who's like that, they really think that they're someone else, means they're schizophrenic, split personality, or crazy. So, what is the situation in this material world? We are all eternal servants of Krishna, and we belong in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. But we think, no, no, no. I am Praneel from Tonga. I'm not from the spiritual world. I never heard of it. I don't know anything about Krishna, let alone serve him. Anyway, it doesn't apply in his case, but there are many people, if you go out and ask them, sir, do you know you're from Goloka Vrindavan? They'll say, what? Is that a new suburb in Tongat? You are actually the eternal servant of Krishna. No, I'm not. I work in the factory. Doing what? Pull the lever, press the button, step on the pedal. That's who I am. But actually we are from Goloka Vrindavan and we are eternal servants of Krishna. But we're thinking, I'm from Tongat, I'm Mr. Such and Such, and I work in the factory, and that's who I am. I'm not from Goloka Vrindavan. But you are from Goloka Vrindavan. So what does that mean? It means everyone is a little crazy, actually. It's a fact. Everyone is a little mad. They're thinking that they are someone who they are not. And just consider it a step further. In your previous life, what were you in your previous life? Maybe you, say, one of the men. Maybe you were a woman. Maybe you had a female body. Just like in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the story of King Paranjan. And he became very attached to his wife. Her wish became his command. If she ever wanted something, go to the Pick and Pay and get me something. He would immediately go, drop everything and anything, and go to the Pick and Pay and get whatever she wanted. Yes, he would just do whatever she wanted. And he was always thinking of her. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajat yante kalevaram. Whatever state of being you remember when you die, you'll attain to that state without fail. So what happened to Paranjan in his next life? He became a woman, and his name was Puranjani. Puranjan became Puranjani. And this is all there in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So now, which is the real one? The man, Puranjan, or the female, Puranjani? Which is the real one? Because, you know, you can't really be a man, like, not just some sort of one of these sexually disordered types, but a real male plus a real female. You can't be at the same time. You can't be. It's not possible. So which was the real one? Puranjan or Puranjani? No. It's the soul. Christy got it right. Neither. He's not the soul, not Puranjan, neither Puranjani, neither. Not one or the other, but something else. The eternal servant of Krishna. Not just the temporary material body in one lifetime, a male body, in the next life, a female body. No. Atma, yes, the soul, that's correct. And the nature of the soul is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. So the problem in this world, Lord Krishna is explaining here, is that people are motivated by false ego. They're motivated thinking, I am a man from Tongat. I must go to the factory. This is what I must do. But no, you are not a man from Tongat, you're an eternal spirit soul. But you are motivated by thinking that I'm a man from Tongat, so I must go to the factory and work hard and so on and so forth. Yes. So Krishna's talking about that here. We should not be motivated by false ego. We should not be absorbed in thinking that I am this body and that my whole way of life and all my activities are on the basis of this body. This is Krishna consciousness. Rather, we should understand, I am the eternal soul. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And that should motivate us. That should motivate us. Just like the devotees living in the temple, they don't have jobs. Govinda Charan Prabhu here, he doesn't have a job, you know, in the ordinary sense. Or Lokanath Das doesn't have a job. But not that he is sleeping all day, he's motivated. He's enthusiastic. They're enthusiastic, doing so many things, but not motivated by that false ego that I am this body, I am from Tongat, I am a man, I must support my family and do so many things. Not that. But rather, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, so I must spread Krishna consciousness. So even those of you who are married and living at home, you can also develop this type of consciousness. If your family, if they're all devotees, just like Christy here and Sally, they're devotees. Sally doesn't work, does she? No, that's right. That's good. Christy works. So, why? But he can do that work in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because his family are devotees. So he can work thinking, I'm trying to make some income here to serve the devotees, to provide prasadam for the devotees, his family, and to create a nice Krishna conscious atmosphere in our house, Do you still have all those tulsis? Look after all the tulsis and, you know, bring the children up in Krishna consciousness. So there, you see, anyone can do it. It's not that you have to live in the temple where you are very obviously not motivated by false ego, but obviously just serving Krishna, trying to spread Krishna consciousness. Even if you're living at home and you're working, if you develop the right consciousness, you can become free from false ego by seeing how your work is helping to develop Krishna consciousness by getting money and using it in Krishna's service. So this is what Krishna is talking about here. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, even though he kills men in this world, does not kill them. So even though Christy is there purchasing stuff for the metas, right, in universal printing, but rather he should be thinking that I'm doing something for Krishna, and the fact that the metas are there, you know, they're his bosses, that's just incidental. That is not the focal point. The focal point is I'm trying to get something to use in Krishna's service. So Krishna is saying here that in the case of Arjuna, he has to fight. But when he fights, not motivated by false ego, rather motivated to please Krishna, then even though he appears to be killing like many people kill, but he is not really killing. No, he's transcendental to all of that. Yes. So we should all try and cultivate this type of consciousness. Not just be absorbed in the material platform, identifying in those terms. This is Krishna consciousness. Not that we live to work, but we just work to live in Krishna consciousness. So the working becomes secondary to our being Krishna conscious. This is actually the idea. And if we do like that, Krishna, we become protected. Just like Prabhupada mentions here, particularly of course in regard to Arjuna, that if a soldier is on the battlefield on behalf of the government and is killing people, then they're not going to arrest him and put him in jail, charge him with murder. No, actually they will congratulate him and give him a medal. But if the same soldier comes back home to Tongat and walking down the main street just decides he doesn't like the look of someone and so he shoots him, then just one person he shoots, he'll be arrested and put in jail, maybe for the rest of his whole life. And you think, what's the big deal? I used to kill lots of people, they gave me medals. Now I killed one person, they want to lock me up for the rest of my life. What's wrong with these people? No, it's not like that. So, if we're serving Krishna, then it may look like we're some ordinary worker, factory worker. But no, we're Krishna's devotee. As long as we're fixed in that consciousness that I'm doing this, I'm using the fruits of this work for Krishna, then I'm no longer some factory worker taking some karma for some mundane work. No. Just like the soldier, because he's fighting for the government, then he doesn't get prosecuted. In the case of Arjuna, when he's killing for Krishna, then he gets no karma So it's like he didn't do anything. Actually killed a lot of people, but it's like he did nothing at all. No reaction. So,